The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show featuring Gogo the Chimp.
Nothing like a chimp to liven up a radio show.
Easy there, Gogo. No, Gogo. Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. And I get to have fun sometimes doing this show because I get to have friends on who've done great things. I get to have strangers on who've done great things and written fun books. Today, it's a friend, my friend Jack Deere. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
Well, I would love to talk to you about anything, anytime you're in New York, but you have a book out, brand new book called Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. The cover of the book is beautiful. Since we're on camera, I can show the cover of the book. It's a beautiful cover. A lot of times beautiful books don't have beautiful covers. I read the book. I was profoundly moved by it and impressed by the writing. It's rare that I would say that because there are a lot of great books where the writing is not particularly good. But the writing, your writing and your ability to suck in the reader to want to flip the pages fast is impressive. And it's something to which I aspire myself. But it's also it's a sad, powerful story. So tell me, your friend Eric and my radio audience, why did you write this book and why is the title Even in Our Darkness?
Well, one reason I wrote the book was for fame and money.
Aha.
Yeah, you might as well tell the truth.
You already have fame and enough money, so let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on.
That's not all the truth. I wrote that book because I wanted to describe or portray an accurate friendship with Jesus and an unsanitized version of the Christian life. So I've been a pastor for a long time, and a lot of times we pastors stand on a stage and we describe a life that really doesn't exist, and we portray ourselves as so much better than we are. And what that does is it teaches everybody that's listening to us to go underground with their sin. So I wanted to tell my story and tell it an unsanitized version where I tell things that a lot of Christian writers won't tell, right? Because that's the only story of the Christian life. It's the life we all live.
Well, I've known you for quite a long time now. It's amazing. We met through the New Canaan Society, our mutual friends, Jim Lane, and so many others. And so I've known you for a long time. And I knew that there was darkness in your life. I mean, you had shared about your son taking his life and other tremendous struggles. But I think a lot of people would not know that about you, and you take it on full force in this book. You get right into it. And I think the difference between – I think the problem, you know, we all know how you can get it wrong by portraying everything as saccharine and happy and positive. Like that's a lie. But at the same time, there are people who kind of wallow in the negativity and the darkness, almost like they're saying – you shouldn't try to overcome it, that, hey, we're all broken, so we're all going to – you know, you manage to do what is so rare, which is to portray the darkest darkness, but there's redemption. God is really in it in a powerful way, and that to me is why I'm so excited that you wrote the book. What prompted you finally – you've written so many books, Jack. What prompted you to tell this story?
For the first part of my life, Christian life, I related to God as someone that I owed obligations to. And if you asked me to define loving God, I would have said it's obeying God. And it never really dawned on me that you can obey somebody you don't love. And about 25 years ago, I had some models come into my life that talked about friendship with Jesus, the Jesus ability to delight in us, to make us feel his affection. And so I set my heart on feeling the affection of Jesus, on loving Jesus, having passion back into my life. And I started praying prayers like, Father, grant me a work of the Holy Spirit to love the Son of God like you love him. Or Psalm 27:4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And so I began to ask, Lord, every day, show me your beauty today.
Well, that's, you know, when you talk about obeying God, it's so funny because we can get everything wrong in every direction, right? There's some people who don't take obeying God seriously. And then there are other people who take it so seriously that they forget how much God loves them. And that to me is the key of the Christian life. In other words, real honesty with God is sort of both, right?
Yeah, but the question is emphasis. Here's what I found in my life. When I make obedience the main thing in my life, I'm least obedient. When I make loving Jesus or feeling his affection the main thing in my life and actually feel his affection, that's when I'm most obedient. We love him because he first loves us. We've got to feel his affection to return love to him.
It's interesting. I remember when I became a Christian in 1988, the idea of displeasing God horrified me. Like suddenly I kind of got this idea that I wanted whatever he wanted for me, you know. And I think sometimes I see people don't have what you might call a fear of God. In other words, you think like, don't they know that this behavior that they're doing displeases God? And aren't they even a little scared about if you're kind of pushing away from God, what might happen? And it's not that God's going to clobber you, but if you're not under his wing, so to speak, if you're pushing away, you're in danger, basically.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about obeying God, it's kind of like you're obeying somebody who loves you so much that he's saying, just listen to me because I love you so much that I want to protect you. I want to bless you. And it's when we push away from him that we put ourselves in danger.
True.
But the flip side, of course, is that you get so focused on obeying him that you're really thinking you're like scared of him more than you're in love with him.
Yeah, we're broken people, and we need more than one motivation for living in a life that's pleasing to God. Judgment is actually a blessing. There are times in my life when my love for God is not strong enough to keep me from doing something wrong, but the fear of judgment is. So God gave Adam and Eve that. Don't eat from that fruit, and the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. So what's the first doctrine that was attacked? The serpent attacks the doctrine of judgment and says, you won't die. You'll be like God.
Well, to get into the specifics of this story, because there's a lot of darkness in it, what was it specifically that made you say, I want to tell this story? I mean, the story of your son's taking his own life, it's beyond belief for me as a parent to read that and to think that you had to live through it and then be able to write about it. What got you to a point where you could write about something like that?
I think when we lost our son, it was December 27th, 2000. He struggled with drugs from the time he was 13 till his last day here. He was 22. And we lived, especially Lisa, lived in fear that he was going to take out another family in a car or something like that.
And Lisa's your wife,
yeah,
who's with us here in the studio. So you had a fear because of the life that he was leading that he could do harm to somebody else.
Yeah, but I also prayed for him more than I prayed for any other person. And I thought that one day he would actually join me in ministry. I never thought he was going to lose his life. So when we found him on that morning, he mixed five things that you can't mix. None of them are lethal by themselves, but you put them together and they become a lethal cocktail that takes you into this realm of invulnerability. And so we think he was pretty much out of his mind whenever he pulled the trigger. He shot himself in the head with a 44 Magnum at our home in Montana, a gun we kept in the kitchen and used to scare bears away from our home. And when I found we found him, we gathered around his body, and all four of us prayed for him, for God to give him back to us. And we said, we're going to pray until God gives him back or until the police come and make us leave the room. 30 minutes later, the police came, and then we went into a cave. We just started to unravel in every way that you can imagine.
You have other kids.
Yeah, so Scott was our middle son. I have our firstborn is Stephen, and our baby is Elise. And Stephen and Elise were just perfect children.
Perfect children, yeah. Man, well, we're going to go to a break here. Folks, I'm talking to my Dear friend, Jack Deere, the book is Even in Our Darkness, a story of beauty in a broken life. I'll just read my own blurb. There are many blurbs from bigger names than mine. I say that it's written beautifully and harrowingly and so grippingly that you won't want to stop reading. This story is everyone's story, and that it is. We'll be right back.
You like freedom? I do. You like money? Well, I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by March 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the March 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
Hey folks, this is Eric Metaxas, and you know I believe America was founded as a beacon of liberty for the world. As I write in my book, If You Can Keep It, if we are to keep this republic, we have to see it afresh and really understand what it is we're keeping. If you have a heart for this important idea, I want to extend a personal invitation for you to join me at the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series on Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the Lancaster County Convention Center. This event is sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy and reminds us of our unique heritage of liberty that was founded upon biblical principles and calls us to let our light so shine for others to see. Join me for an inspirational night that brings a powerful message of hope with inspiring media, choral performances, and me, Eric Metaxas, at the Remember America Speaker Series. Tickets and sponsorships are available at dayspringchristian.com or call 717-344-5584. Visit dayspringchristian.com. That's dayspringchristian.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's six industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
Hey there, folks. There it is. Once he was a boogie singer. That's all we have time for because we're going to have a conversation with my friend Jack Deere. Continue the conversation with my friend Jack Deere. Today we're talking about Jack's new book, Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. It's just an amazing book that I recommend really highly. Jack, it's thrilling to have you here. But I want to say that many people know you from your other books and your story. You talk about the story in this book. This is basically an autobiography in many ways. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's selective. It's a memoir. I didn't tell everything, but I'm emphasizing the theme of becoming a Christian and falling into sort of a Pharisaical trap and eventually discovering that God really wants a friendship with you and wants you to feel his affection.
Well, now, you were effectively kicked out of Dallas Theological Seminary. Is that okay to get into?
Yeah, it's okay. I say that in the book.
Well, I know.
Talk about it.
And you, but I mean, you were a very brilliant scholar at Dallas Theological Seminary, and then you fell in with a crackpot named John Wimber, and you started believing in this Holy Spirit stuff and taking the Trinity seriously. What were you thinking?
I'm a son of Dallas Seminary, so for the first 10 years of my life as a professor, I told students God doesn't heal today and he doesn't speak except in the Bible. You might get a dream or something like that, but that's a one-off
thing. But you really didn't believe back then that God – because you hear so many times of miracles. You didn't think that any of that stuff was Jesus?
I believed all the miracles in the New Testament, but when we
– No, I'm talking today.
Yeah, well, we would find something wrong with Catherine Kuhlman. We would pick somebody that was very flamboyant and had wrong doctrine, and it was hard for any of us to see if you had bad doctrine how you could have real power in your life, although there's plenty of examples of that in the Bible. So that's kind of how that was kind of my mentality, and I told all my students God doesn't heal today. And then one of my favorite people, my idol kind of for non-technical literature, John White, a professor of psychiatry, wrote all kinds of practical books, The Fight, Eros Defiled, so on. I had a conversation with him one day on the phone. In fact, our first conversation. This is a guy that's really smart, really godly, and he told me he believed in healing. And then he told me two healing stories. And I'm talking to a doctor, right? I don't mean like a headache going away. I mean bone changing under a hand. And a baby or a little three-year-old boy with oozing eczema, he and his wife Lori lay hands on that baby. The eczema starts to dry up. And the next day, the baby's got perfect skin. So I knew he wasn't lying to me. So I'm thinking, there's something here I don't understand. So I went back and he's coming to our church to do a conference, and he wants to speak on healing.
This is back then.
I started a Bible church and told everybody in my church, God doesn't heal.
And is this in the 80s, the 90s?
This is 1986.
Okay.
So now I've got my hero on the phone saying, yeah, I'll give those four lectures, but one lecture I want to give on healing. And I go, okay. And then he says, oh, and one other thing, Jack, if I come to your church, I want to pray for the sick. And I said, in the church? And he said, well, we can work out the details. And I said, Dr. White, couldn't we just go down to the missions, one of those places downtown, and find some lame person, take a few elders and pray for him? And he said, well, we can work out the details when I get there, but I wouldn't just want to come to your church and talk about something without doing it. And I'm thinking, why? We do that all the time in seminary. I mean, we tell students they have to evangelize. We tell students to evangelize. We don't do it, but we tell everybody they're supposed to do it.
Right.
So that was the next 4 months. I was so shaken by that conversation. I didn't believe in healing yet, but I looked at every single healing story in the New Testament, and I asked one question. Why did you do it, God? And I got 10 or 12 reasons, like he healed out of compassion. He healed in Acts 9, for instance, to open wide doors to evangelism. Not one time did it say the apostles healed to show that they were trustworthy teachers of doctrine. That's what we told our students at Dallas. That's why the apostles healed. Now we have their doctrine. We don't need healing anymore. But when I started actually studying the scripture with an open mind, I found it just the opposite. Healing is rooted in the eternal character of God, compassion, mercy, opening doors for evangelism, glorifying his son, those sorts of reasons. Those are still all valid.
Right.
And then we started praying for the sick in my church, and we started seeing healing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're still involved with Dallas Theological Seminary.
I'm still teaching at Dallas. Through John White, I become friends with John Wimber. Dr. White said, John Wimber is the real deal. He really tries to follow Scripture, and he's the most gifted healer I've ever seen. So he's coming to town 2 weeks later, and I'm going to meet him for the first time. I come out of my office. I'm walking toward the quadrangle, and there's a group of about 7 or 8 students talking, and they're talking about John Wimber. So I just hang off to the side, and I listen to them, and one of them says this. I talked to one of our graduates the other day. He was in a Wimber meeting in Australia. John walked into the room, lifted up his hands, and said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And all the people fell down on the floor, started barking like dogs and vomiting. And I'm hearing that story, and I'm going to hear him at a Baptist church that night. And I think, what have I gotten myself into? I'm not sure I want to fall down on the floor and bark like a dog and vomit. I mean, I used to do that before I became a Christian. It wasn't that much fun then. So I go into the meeting to meet him, but my protection, my senses are all, I'm not going to be fooled. And I see the most wonderful things in the meeting. He's like a young life leader. One lady in my church gets healed, and it was amazing. And then he began to help me pray for people, learn how to pray for people.
Wow. So the folks at Dallas Theological Seminary obviously had doctrinal issues with what was happening in your life.
Yeah, it was. I actually passed a doctoral exam. So in 1987, I wasn't outside the doctrinal statement, but what was becoming an embarrassment was my friendship with John Wimber. I was going to meetings with him, and he was teaching me and Lisa how to pray for people, and I had this valuable friendship going. And the seminary, in the late fall of 87, the president gave me a choice. Renounce your friendship with Wimber or resign from the seminary. That was the choice. The friendship with Wimber was the key thing. So I wasn't in contradiction with the doctrinal statement of the seminary. I am now, but I wasn't back then.
I have so much respect for Dallas Theological Seminary that, of course, is dismaying to hear this kind of thing. Have they softened at all on this?
Yeah, they have. They are letting charismatics in the school now. And you couldn't graduate. In my day, if you spoke in tongues, you forget graduating from the seminary. But now they're admitting charismatics, and they want to have an influence in the charismatic church.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. So you leapt in headlong into the world of healing, prophecy, all the stuff that many people associate with kookiness, because there's a lot of kookiness in it. But because of people like you, I realize that it is a big part of what God wants to do today. And that's how I've gotten to know people like Ken Fish and other dear friends. And to me, it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
Yeah. Think about healing and prophecy. Where did we get that? It comes right out of the New Testament. So Jesus comes, but Matthew 4:23, he preaches the kingdom of God and he heals. Why? It's real simple. People need it. And he wants to meet needs. He's got compassion and all that. So it's not spooky or complicated. And prophecy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, earnestly pursue spiritual gifts, especially prophecy.
It's amazing. As I've talked to you a little bit, I've never seen much in my own life on this score. I mean, I've seen a number of visions. God has spoken to me in a number of ways. But when I pray, the Lord doesn't give me words of knowledge that I haven't ever seen anyone healed or anything like that. And it's frustrating. I've talked to Ken Fish about this. It's frustrating because I think how wonderful it would be to hear from God and to see these kinds of things. And I'm sure there are many people listening to this program right now think that, wouldn't that be wonderful if I could pray for someone and I could see healing, or I could pray and the Lord would tell me something about somebody and I could use that to help them, you know. You must talk to people who express that kind of frustration.
I do. And a lot of times the people who feel frustrated, they don't have a mentor and they don't have a church that actually prays for the sick. They're not part of a home group that actually prays for the sick. But once you get in a home group where you take time to try to listen to God's voice and get some sort of revelation about people in the group, once you start doing that on a regular basis, it makes a huge difference in your ability to hear them.
So you need to kind of do it.
And you need to be in an environment where it's being done and it causes faith to well up inside you. And it's fantastic when it happens. So I just came here from Aspen. I'm doing a conference in a church called Crossroads. Had two of my disciples there that are really prophetic and great in healing. And they just stood on a stage very calmly, not kooky or anything right. like that. One of them, Jeremy, calls out a guy and says, are you praying for something to you're in a business deal. God wants to make this business deal better for you. You might want to ask him some questions. And the guy says, well, I'm thinking about selling my house. And he said, well, you might want to look at that contract again.
Hang on. This is the ultimate cliffhanger, folks. When we come back, we'll hear the rest of the story. I'm talking to Jack Deere. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. The book is Even in Our Darkness.
Futures and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire the stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been on the trading floor for 25 years. I traded for Goldman Sachs in the S&P 500 pit and was the first Amazon market maker at the CBOE. I am also the senior market strategist here at Trading Advantage, the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. Now, for a limited time, I am offering one of the trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. Get started right now by calling 1-800-288-0092. Leave your email address on my voicemail, and I'll email you my free trading technique and the Trading Advantage Daily Market Report at no cost to you. Again, 1-800-288-0092. That's 1-800-288-0092. 0092.
It was Jesus who first called his followers a city upon a hill, a light for all to see. Since then, John Winthrop, Abraham Lincoln, JFK, and Ronald Reagan have echoed those words for those who call America home. Join author and SRN radio host Eric Metaxas as he lifts up this message and headlines the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series, Friday, April 6th in Lancaster, PA. This special event, sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy, reminds Americans of their unique heritage of liberty that is founded on biblical principles. Remember America brings to life the important ideas Eric captures in his book, If You Can Keep It. The Remember America Speaker Series with Eric Metaxas is Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lancaster County Convention Center. Tickets and sponsorships are available by calling 717-344-5584 or go to dayspringchristian.com. dayspringchristian.com.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. See all obstacles in my way.
Folks, hey there, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Jack Deere. The new book is Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. And Jack, you were just in the middle of telling an anecdote about a recent conference.
Yeah, so last Sunday we were standing on a stage in Crossroads Church in Aspen, Colorado. And one of my young disciples, Jeremy, points to a man, just didn't know the man, didn't know his name, anything, and asked him if he was in a business deal right now and was about to close. And the man said yes. And so Jeremy said, you might want to pray about this contract. He's selling his house. Pray about that. And God's got something more for you than what you see right now. And then he says, and do you have pain in your right shoulder? And the guy said, yes, I do. So we sit up and we prayed for him. Now, what are the chances of you just looking across a few hundred people and looking at a guy and saying, you're in a business deal right now, you're about to close, but you might want to relook at it. Oh, and also you have pain in your right shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, now, again, there's only two explanations in my mind. The only actual objection that somebody could make to that, I would argue, is that this is some kind of a gift that is not from God. In other words, you can't deny logically the reality of what just took place.
Yeah.
The only question is the source Jesus or something dark? It seems clear to me that there are people who would say, well, that's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't do that. That's just, you know, the enemy trying to confuse us. But I know and you know that's not true, that God is doing this. The only question is why some people are so extraordinarily gifted in it and others aren't. And that's a big question.
Well, I think some people are extraordinarily gifted because that God just gave them a sovereign gift,
yeah.
Like an Isaiah or Jeremiah. But then other people develop really impressive giftings because they take risk. Like these guys, when they were in their 20s, stood on a stage at my church and were not embarrassed to fail. And they just kept trying, and their faith rose, and they got better and better. And I can take them around the world, and it's just amazing the gifts that they have right now. So that this Sunday, or last Sunday, two guys, both of them gave four words. That's eight prophetic words. Every single one of them was true. It was all beneficial to the people. And then I preached a sermon and offered the gospel to people. I mean, it was a good day. It was a good way to go to church.
Well, the funny thing too is that when you go to a church where this stuff is happening and where it is in order, where you can see that this is good, you want to go to that church.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a burden. It's exciting. It's wonderful. And even if it's not happening to you, to see it happening to other people, it's just fantastic. But there's so many people that don't move in this stuff. And it seems when I hear this kind of thing, I think if more people were doing this, the whole world would change. Who doesn't want healing? Who doesn't want success or whatever? And this is not to say that God promises us a rose garden. We're not talking about that. But the point is there are people laboring with real problems, and God loves them, and he wants to help them, even if it's just to hold their hand through the problem so that they're not alone. And I think a big part of what God does when he communicates in these ways is just to let us know, I'm real, I love you, I'm with you. If he just does something to let us know, it's kind of like winking at us. You know, it's like, I got you. I'm with you. That's a big deal. I mean, if you know the Lord is with you in your trials, the trials are different.
Yeah, totally, totally different.
Well, I want to talk more about the book. So tell us the story that you tell in the book.
A little while ago, I was talking about us finding our son. And the police came, made us leave the room. And then everything sort of cratered. I woke up the next morning and tried to pray. And I thought, why pray? I mean, I prayed for him more than I prayed for anybody. Are those promises about prayer, are they broken? Is there something I don't understand? Are they empty? I couldn't write a line after that for years. I couldn't write a line that I liked. Everything came out as kind of this lifeless cliche. But what God did during that time for us was just one creative, wonderful sort of invasion into our life to say, I'm there. I'm going to help you through this. I'll just tell you one of the more dramatic stories. 8 weeks after we lost my son, we hadn't been to church. I go to a church in Amarillo that I go to every month. They called and said, all the senior pastors are gone. We need someone to come and introduce this special speaker from Australia. Would you come? And you'll only be gone for 24 hours. My son and my daughter stayed with Lisa, and I went to the church to introduce the speaker. After the service, I'm standing down at front. There are about 5,000 people that go to this church over the weekend. And then they're praying for people, a prayer team. I'm not praying for anybody. And I see this pretty blonde lady. She's leading a young – not young. She's leading a person to me. And not to me, but she's leading him in the room. And I can't tell if the person is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, because the person has no face. Where there should have been eyes, they're just slits sewn shut. You couldn't even tell there was a nose there. And the mouth was this misshapen kind of round, crinkly hole. And a permanent trach was coming out of the throat. She comes right up to me, and she says, "Hi, my name's Michelle. This is my son, Aaron. He's 16 years old. 6 months ago, he put a shotgun under his chin and pulled the trigger. It blew his face away, but not his life. Would you pray for him? He doesn't want to be here, but he's come because he doesn't believe in God, but he's come because I asked him. Would you pray for him?" That was my first time to be back in church in 8 weeks. And I said, "Aaron, would you like for me to pray for you?" He put his finger over the tube so the air would go up his throat, up the vocal folds, and said, "Yes." So I prayed for him, but I'll tell you what happened after the break.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, folks, I'm talking to Jack Deere. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. If you go to MetaxasTalk.com, you can sign up for Metaxas Super, and you can watch this on video. Wouldn't that be fun? Hey, we're going to be right back. Sure and true. Seems it never rains in Southern California. Seems I'm on. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Please do.
Okay, ReliefFactor.com is the website. I'm getting these testimonials, and I take it, but I'm not going to talk about me. I'm going to talk about Jenny from Texas. She says, "I've been taking Relief Factor for 4 weeks. I was hit by a car while walking almost a year ago when I got to the place where nothing I tried for pain relief was working. My husband had heard of your product. We decided to give it a try. This past week, I've started noticing a decrease in the pain in my lower back and an increased range of motion. I'm pretty sure Relief Factor has had something to do with it, and I'm grateful. Relief Factor has helped when everything else I tried quit working. It's a beautiful addition to my natural therapies. I got to say, Relief Factor it's not toxic. You can take it as much as you want. 3 weeks, because this woman says she's been taking it for 4 weeks. 3 weeks is the magic number.
Yeah.
You'll know if it works in 3 weeks because it's, you know, different pain pathways and whatever. Go to ReliefFactor.com, get the quick start pack for $19.95, and you'll know. There's plenty there to tell you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hurst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
For so long, I'd had that little hidden sin. It was a secret. No one knew. So I'd convince myself it really wasn't hurting anyone, but what if my wife or kids found out? Harmless? It would have ruined me. The problem was, who could I talk to? I needed someone I could confide in, but this was so personal. Who could I trust?
He found someone to trust, and so can you. We're Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. All of our licensed and experienced counselors are qualified and certified by the state board, and many are trained in addiction counseling. But more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing, all from the comfort of your own home. Try it for the first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word TRUST. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word TRUST to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me. I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Jack Deere. The new book is Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. Okay, Jack, 8 months after your son has taken his life with a gun, you go to church and this woman asks you – 8 weeks.
8 weeks, yeah.
This woman asks you to pray for this boy who's – it just sounds horrible.
Yeah, so I say, Aaron, would you like – my name is Jack. Would you like me to pray for you? He says, yes. I put one hand on his back, and as soon as my left hand touches his heart, I feel power ripple down the back of my neck, all the way down my back and my legs, and I know exactly what to say. I say, Aaron, my son pulled the trigger at Christmas time, but he didn't make it. God has spared your life because he has purposes for you if you want them. And at about that time, Michelle starts sobbing, and she says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were the pastor whose son. I'm just so sorry. I never would have come. And I said, Michelle, God has really made this appointment. This is a divine appointment. You did everything right. I'm glad to be here. And then I finished praying for Aaron, and then I prayed for Michelle, and the same thing happened. So the last time I put these hands on anyone to pray for them is when I held my son's shattered head in my hands. And the very next time I lay these hands on anyone, he brings a boy who's blown his face away with a shotgun. And as they walk away, I just look up to heaven and I say, God, you are really something. No one writes stories like you do. And I'd lost my story when I found my son, and now I knew he was giving it back to me. It was like he was saying, just stay with me, Jack, and the places I've broken you, I will heal, and I'll give you power to help the hopeless.
Well, we need to hear this kind of stuff, which is one of the reasons I was so moved by this book and wanted to have you on the program. Because there are people who go – suffering drives them away from God. And you've seen your share of suffering, to put it mildly. But you found your way to a deeper relationship with the Lord. I mean, it seems safe to say that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you shall have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me you shall have peace. Trouble is the normal thing in life. And I had this line in the book, but it ended up on the cutting floor, but it's really true. I say, I've had pain I did not deserve. I've never had pain I did not need. God will redeem every bit of the pain in our life and use it to take us someplace deeper in him that we couldn't have gotten to any other way.
And we certainly wouldn't have picked it ourselves.
No. None of us write the story that we're living now.
It's very rare that I'm reading a book and then suddenly I see myself in the book. I was like really startled when I was reading the book, and you get to the point of being at the New Canaan Society up in Connecticut, and I guess I introduced you in my typically rude goofball way. It just kind of amazed me to read, because when you read something that you've experienced through the eyes of somebody else, and I kind of thought, I'm not kidding you, Jack, when I introduced you, you got up and then you said some equally mean things back to me. The only difference was I could feel this like ripple of like I shouldn't have said what I said. Like I actually felt like sometimes I joke too hard, and I realize in the Canaan Society we hit each other like we really act like boys in a way, in a good way and stuff. But you said to me that you thought You actually were having fun with it, but I think I was feeling guilty.
I was overwhelmed by your brilliance. I still am. But nobody is as fast on their feet. At least I don't know anybody that's as fast on their feet as you are. Just listening to you make announcements at those New Canaan retreats is one of the one of the greatest experiences. But that first meeting was a life-changing thing for me. When I went into Jim Lane's house and you got up and you roasted me, and we were all laughing. It was like I was back in the Young Life Club. It was like this is an adult men's Young Life Club. We men love sarcastic humor, and it's okay to use in men's group. And there's nobody better at it than you. And so being with you and Jim Lane that day was like a life-changing experience for me. I became just firmly committed to the ministry of the New Canaan Society after that day.
What year was that?
It was February 2003.
So this is just a couple of years after you had this tragedy.
Yeah.
And was it B.J. Weber that connected you to us?
Yeah. B.J. was connected to a friend of mine in Montana. And through my Montana friend, I met B.J. and started coming up to Manhattan and then met you and Jim.
Yeah. And here we are.
Yeah.
And it was so great because it was through you that I got to meet Dudley Hall and so many other wonderful, wonderful men that I would never know. I got to shoot shotguns at your ranch.
Yeah,
that was just a blast for me. Anybody who knows me knows how much I've grown to love Texas. I can't tell you. It's just every time I go down there, I feel like I'm home.
Well, what surprised me is how good a shot you turned out to be.
Well, that's people think I grew up in Manhattan or something. I grew up in Danbury, Connecticut, where people hunt and fish and stuff. Yeah. And so I'm more normal than people think. But I try to hide it. What are your hopes for this book, Jack? Do you think that a lot of people are going to be surprised that Jack Deere, who wrote about, power evangelism and all this stuff, that you wrote this book?
Yeah, the whole time I'm writing this book, I'm trying to write it in a way that would be attractive to people who don't go to church, don't know God, but they'll the story, the beauty of the story will capture them. And agnostics have read this book and actually love it. Literary agnostics have read it. And so my hope is this book will bring people to Christ, bring people back to Christ, and deepen the friendship that people have with Christ.
Well, I think that, again, if you're presented kind of a phony, saccharine, plastic Jesus, many people are smart enough to say, I don't want that. And so when you encounter the real thing, you recognize it. Something inside you says, if there's a God, this is the kind of God I'm looking for. And I think, you know, of course, that's unfortunately all too rare in a lot of the Christian books or in the Christian world or in Christian expressions. So you're doing a great service by revealing the struggles that you've been through, which go far beyond the one incident of your son's suicide. There's just a lot of grief in here, but it is beautiful. And again, I'm happy to say so well written that I really, really was I didn't want to put it down. It was really, really gripping. And I think whenever anybody says that about my books, I'm thrilled. I think that's like the greatest thing as a writer, that somebody says it was so gripping I couldn't put it down. And to me, that's what this book is. So I recommend it heartily to anybody who's listening. It's called Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. It's just an amazing story. We'll be right back for a final segment with Jack Deer. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com.
Something in my soul just cried. I see the want in your blue eyes. Baby, I love
for young people who want to make the most of their summer, there's the Summer Academy at the King's College in New York City. At Summer Academy, inquisitive high schoolers learn how the great ideas of Western civilization apply to journalism, business, economics, and leadership, all from a biblical worldview. Plus, they'll enjoy world-famous landmarks and museums. One student called it the learning experience of a lifetime. To learn more, Google the King's College Summer Academy. That's the King's College Summer Academy.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. Geico will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely, abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, send Yeti on over. Geico is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Futures and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire the stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been on the trading floor for 25 years. I traded for Goldman Sachs and the S&P 500 pit and was the first Amazon market maker at the CBOE. I am also the senior market strategist here at Trading Advantage, the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. Now, for a limited time, I am offering one of the trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. Get started right now by calling 1-800-288-0092. Leave your email address on my voicemail, and I'll email you my free trading technique and the Trading Advantage Daily Market Report at no cost to you. Again, 1-800-288-0092. That's 1-800-288-0092.
0092. I'm sailing away.
Well, have a good time. Folks, I want to tell you about Hillsdale College. Higher education these days is insane. Students storm faculty offices, and they riot when speakers come to visit. Not very mature. But this is not happening everywhere. There is at least one place where students can debate ideas openly and honestly, where they can pursue truth together with their professors in a respectful manner. Can you imagine? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Every student at Hillsdale lives by an honor code. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a simple pledge. Here it is. A Hillsdale College student is honorable in conduct, honest in word and deed, dutiful in study and service, and respectful of the rights of others. Through education, the student rises to self-government. That's it. Every freshman commits to follow that code, and throughout their Hillsdale education, their character is built to be true, beautiful, and good. Hillsdale graduates serve our country in a number of capacities, and the education they get, coupled with that honor code, produces successful, excellent human beings. Learn more about this amazing place at metaxasforhillsdale.com, metaxasforhillsdale.com. We just have a few minutes left with my friend and guest, Jack Deere. Jack, you were saying to me in the break that the boy who blew his face off with a shotgun, there's more to the story.
Yeah, for in those early days, I was so shell-shocked and non-functioning that I didn't think about trying to follow up and find them. And by the time I did, I couldn't find them. And just recently, I found them through the internet. Aaron has become a believer. He's had many, many more reconstructions of his face. He looks much, much more normal now. And he goes and tells his story to churches all the time. They live in Austin, Texas. So that was so gratifying.
I mean, it's kind of interesting to think that at 16, he was not any kind of a Christian. But his mother dragged him there, and he came and let you pray for him. And, you know, because a lot of these stories don't turn out that way.
Yeah, true.
So that is so beautiful that God used you in your profound grief in that moment. Now, when you said you feel that electricity or whatever, does that happen when – because there was no healing that happened then. But it's just that you could tell that God had something
– It was like power. You could just feel power rippling up and down your body, almost like you were – hooked into electrical surgery. I haven't had that happen often, but a few times, and I recognize it when it comes. And it's always been with some kind of prophetic word in a tense situation.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I've never experienced anything like that. I know many people who have. My own grandmother, who never went to church, never read the Bible, but prayed to Jesus every morning, she once prayed. She really thought that the Lord should take her. She was about 80, and there was some tough stuff in her family. And she said that she felt like electricity and like hot oil, like running down from the top of her head all through her body. And she said she felt this outrageous sense of strength, like she was 20 years old. And God spoke to her and said, I'm giving you 10 more years. And she lived 10 years
Wow.
after that. And Wow. it was just a clear, you know, when I heard that, I said, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
God does that for people at certain times. We Yeah. can't make it happen. But you hear so many stories like that. And I just want to say these things to encourage people. We're going to have you back ASAP, so because we couldn't get everything in. But folks, pick up a copy of Jack Deere's book, Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. Highly recommended. Jack Deere, my friend, thank you for being my guest.
Great to be here, Eric.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.